Well, everybody who is mistakenly thinking they should be president now is tailgating at the Cyclones Hawkeyes Corn Bowl in Ames. Pretty good, though, two undefeated teams. 1-0 and 1-0, but still, one of them won't be when this is all over. And one man I bet is going to have to beat it out over there pretty quick to cover it is the New York Times man in Iowa, Tripp Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, right now. Tripp Gabriel. How are you?
Good.
Good. So now you're from New York, and Donald Trump is from New York. Do you think there's a little problem in sort of his, you know, the way he works with Iowa as opposed to Iowa Nice?
Well, I think, you know, Trump is kind of testing the boundaries of Iowa Nice. He's a New York not so nice, and, you know, so far it's going over pretty well here.
Yeah. So they think that he's humorous and everything. Is he making a good impression? I mean, that helicopter thing was a bit... I don't know Iowans that necessarily would bring a helicopter to a fair and give kids rides, because that would be a kind of showy thing to do.
Well, you know, the whole point of candidates coming to the state fair, and I think there were 10 or 12 of them this year, is to kind of demonstrate your common touch, that you're a man or woman of the people, and you walk around with and you eat a pork chop on a stick, and you glad hand lots of people. And the assumption is that cuts a lot of ice with Iowans, and Trump pretty much upended that. He did a flyby in his Trump-branded helicopter. He landed in a field nearby. I think he told a 10-year-old Iowa kid that he was Batman. And then when he actually arrived on the fairgrounds, you know, he had 6 or 8 security, and came like a kind of visiting head of state.
Yeah.
But that worked really well. So,
yeah.
You know, there's obviously an appeal to Donald Trump, and you know, it's one of the mysteries of his success is he's worth $10 billion, if you believe his financial disclosure filings, and maybe a few billion less than that, if you're a little more skeptical.
Yeah.
And he's still very popular, you know, with working-class people, with people of, you know, who you wouldn't think necessarily would identify with a zillionaire for president.
Yeah. How are you personally faring from New York City, big city? Are you living here in Des Moines now?
I have an apartment in Des Moines, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much 6 of 1, 6 of 2 the other?
You know, if you ask me this week, I'm leaning toward Des Moines. It's a...
Yeah.
That was an easy one.
I'm trying to help here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. All the amenities, you can get the New York Times, you said you get the Sunday Times and everything, so you're good.
You know, rumor has it that you can get the newspaper on print. In fact, rumor has it the newspaper still is printed. We don't see a whole lot of copies out here.
Yeah. What was the idea behind? Has this been done before, where they actually put a man in for the caucuses? Like since January, right?
I've been here since late January. In fact, since the Republicans had an event, you know, in this theater, and this is where sort of Scott Walker broke out by describing how. You know, he had endured, you know, tens of thousands of protesters at the Madison State House and threats to gut his wife like a deer.
That was one guy.
Memorable line was...
That was one guy, and he was a hunter. That's so exaggerated.
But, normally, you know, a national paper like ours assigns reporters to individual candidates, and we follow them around, but... I think this, I compare this, I don't know if you're a fisherman, but, you know, fishermen know that, you know, trout don't cruise all around the stream looking for their meal. They tend to hold behind a rock or a log, and they let the current bring the insects overhead, and then they jump out and they grab, you know, if you're a fly fisherman, you know about that. So I think this is the...
I don't get your analogy.
I'm working up to it. I'm holding behind the rock, you know, that is Des Moines, and the current is bringing all the candidates, you know, right across the top here.
Wait a minute. Are you the fish?
I'm the fish, not the fisherman. Yes.
You're the fish. Okay.
We got a lot of Iowa fishermen, fisher people here.
Now I get it. You're the fisherman, a fish, not the fisherman. Okay, that's where I was. What about all these packs here? You know, I sort of get a kick out of. I have a list of them somewhere here. I don't know, every pack, and they all—I have some euphemism for a name. Here we got the Opportunity and Freedom Pack. That's a big one for—that's Rick Perry's. He's about opportunity and freedom. We got Believe Again, Bobby Jindal, in case you weren't believing, or you believed once. Concerned American Voters, that's Rand Paul. And they have a right to be concerned, I would say. Right to Rise, the Jeb Bush one. It's just the names of these things.
He's having a tough time living up to that.
It sounds like the Doughboy.
That name.
It sounds like the Doughboy. It sounds like Pillsbury would have been. Right to Rise. Yeah. Generation Forward Pack, Club for Growth. That's Huckabee. Yeah. Unintimidated, of course, is the
That's
best.
A pretty inside joke, dude. A lot of what? People get that. The,
what?
The Club for Growth Pack is Huckabee.
No, I didn't even get it.
Oh. Club for Growth is opposed to Mike Huckabee. It's a very anti-tax independent group.
Oh, yeah,
group,
it says anti-Mike. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Yeah.
But that's okay. All right.
Does he have a pack?
He does have a pack, yes.
Is it a double-wide trailer pack?
You know, the name escapes me because as you're demonstrating there, they're all such interchangeable, nonsensical names.
Yeah. Well, because the Freedom's Defense Fund is anti-Hillary Clinton, so that's... That would be Freedom's Defense, apparently. I've noticed some of these things don't make a lot of sense. And the money that goes... Of course, Iowa made something like $4 million so far. Just...
Shh. You're not supposed to be exposing that particular secret about the caucuses.
Okay. Why? Is that your job or what?
No. You said, if I understand, so you said Iowa's made about $4 million so far?
Yeah.
That's the money that the campaigns and the news media
lavish upon
and radio shows, you know, spend when they come to cover this caucus process over the length
of
the year.
Well, at the bait shop, we dropped quite a few bucks. So,
you know, Iowa would not like to pass that $4 million on to Colorado or New Hampshire.
Yeah, right.
Another state that might want to go first in line in terms of voting.
Yeah, you got to justify all the mayhem and just the crop damage alone from these guys tramping through, pretending, you know, they can hug a piglet or something in a factory farm. They don't do many. They used to do hugging piglets more, I noticed, years ago before they got these factory pig cities. Because where are you going to wade through that to grab a piglet there somewhere in the factory? It's not a good photo op like it used to be.
It's funny, and I've been in Iowa now for about 8 months, and I think it's the largest hog producing state in the country. I mean, but all I've seen are pork chops. I mean, I haven't actually seen the porkers. I don't know where you're
The end result is great. The end result is great. And why would they put them on a stick? They're already on a stick. I never get that about them. They're built that way. So what have you did? Any major discoveries? Were you originally signed to do Scott Walker? Was that...
No, that was an add-on. I came to Des Moines to cover the whole caucus process, mm-hmm. And you know, I also sort of inherited or picked up Governor Walker as somebody to report about, particularly to follow him. So, you know, he's here a lot. It's a neighboring state. You can drive from Madison from Des Moines in five kind of torturous hours.
Yeah, we just made it coming in. Yeah,
yeah, if you have to, but.
Yeah. If you get lost, all it is cornfield. You don't know where the hell you are. You know, yeah, go right by the cornfield there. There's a silo. Right, sure. And turn right there, and turn right, and turn right again, and you're back where you started. But how is he screwed up so badly, Scott Walker?
That's a really good question. I mean, you know, after he, you know, the reputation that the governor had, you know, before he kind of came to Iowa earlier in the year, was that, you know, he was sort of a boring speaker, or, you know, Iowans knew about his policies. I mean, the local news here, you know, the local news from Madison, you know, sort of broadcast his success in the recall election and his defeat of protesters in 2011. But you know, when he finally spoke in Iowa, he gave a very forceful speech that impressed, especially, you know, the conservative base, the Republican voters here in the state. And he was at 25% in the polls in February, I think. And you know, this week he's down to about 3%. Lots of great explanations for that.
Yeah. So the message is not getting out, or did the message get out about him?
You know, I think Donald Trump ate his lunch, people are saying. You know, he's been on three sides of every two-sided issue. people have noticed, and yeah.
Yeah, and then Trump took after him. That was sort of the curtains.
He did. In fact, I think one of the more memorable appearances by Donald Trump was in Oskaloosa, Iowa. So it was in July, I guess. And Trump was still trailing Scott Walker here in the state, and he sort of called out to about 1,000 people or 500 people in the crowd there. He said, please, make me number one in Iowa. I just really want to beat up on Scott Walker. The people responded, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much so. I think I don't think I'm speaking what do you speak out of?
Out of school?
Out of school.
Out of turn?
I don't think I'm speaking out of any of those things to say that. Back in Milwaukee, we never in Wisconsin, we didn't consider him to be a great speaker. Or right. Really to have a personality at all. it's sort of a liability, I guess, for a candidate. You go out and you really don't have much of a personality to try to project that. I've done it for years myself, but I
he has had his moments. At the state fair, since we were talking about that earlier, you speak publicly. They call it the soapbox. It's a traditional kind of outdoor speaking platform, and he was pretty aggressively heckled. And there was a group of folks that came down from Milwaukee who were heckling him, and Walker, responded in kind, very forcefully
by plugging his book. Unintimidated.
Yes, I think that word did come up a few times, but
several times. I bet they planted those guys. I honestly think they did.
Well, his
he really wanted to show that he could be unintimidated.
His state manager said he would. After that, to me, he said, "Well, I would have paid for those folks to be there."
Would have, as opposed to I did. Okay, that's the caucuses are kind of unique in terms of a political primary.
There's absolutely no rhyme or reason for the caucuses or for their primacy. The first voting competition in the nominating race. But they're here, and to paraphrase Trump, deal with it.
Yeah. But how did they start? And was it a Democratic sort of like neighborhood kind of way of approaching a primary or?
You're stumping my knowledge.
Oh.
But I know that they became in the Democratic Party they were. The National Party changed its rules back in the early 70s so that the Iowa caucuses came first in the calendar. Mm-hmm. And and then like Jimmy Carter, no one had ever heard of the peanut farmer from Georgia in 76, Jimmy Carter, and he visited, camped out in Iowa for a year and won the caucuses, and that sort of demonstrated that this was the place to be.
Yeah. Did Santorum win last year? Didn't Santorum win last? Did he win the?
He won in 2012. Although it was a weird night. Initially, the Republican Party counted wrong and declared Mitt Romney the winner. And Santorum has been angry about that for 4 years.
Yeah, and Hillary doesn't really seem to be having the common touch. Would you say?
No, I wouldn't say she's not having the common touch. I think she's actually succeeding at having the common touch, but it's a tough she's got a tough row to hoe here.
Yeah, because she did wait in line for her pork chop, I noticed. That was pretty good, but still, is that enough to lead the greatest nation on earth? That you'll wait for a pork chop? I don't know. The Sanders thing has got her flummoxed, obviously.
No question about it,
This comes out of nowhere. Have you dealt with him at all, his people? Or,
No,
what have you discovered?
I was in Davenport, which if you're not familiar with the geographic kind of layout of Iowa, is on the eastern side by the Mississippi River. And I just happened to be there for another candidate, and I said, "Oh, Bernie Sanders is coming to Iowa." This was a few months ago. I'll go see what he has to say. Mm-hmm. And I thought there'd be about 25 or 30 people. It was at a university there, and 700 people showed up. Mm-hmm. So, a very early indication of the huge popular grassroots interest in Senator Sanders.
How do you account for that? What you've seen, or don't you?
After covering
Iowa... Is it like
Iowa,
being a fish and having the bugs floating over?
I I actually didn't know there were any Democrats in Iowa because I was here the first time in 2011, and there was, of course, no Democratic competition since we had an incumbent president. But so I spent a lot of time talking to very, very conservative Republicans. And what you learn about Iowa is there's also a whole lot of Democrats, and they're also... And they lean liberal. You know, this is a great state for Bernie Sanders. It was a great state for Barack Obama for similar reasons.
Yeah, not so great for Hillary.
It's
at that point.
She is.
Wasn't that the turning point for her? Where she lost to Iowa
in 2008.
Yeah,
it wasn't the turning point, but it was a shock and it was a wake up call. I mean, she went on to do pretty well in New Hampshire, but you know. Most politicians are generals who fight the last war. Mrs. Clinton decided that, you know, what went wrong in 2008 was she wasn't on the ground enough. She didn't have enough meet and greets with voters in coffee shops and in living rooms, and so she is doing that in spades. This cycle in Iowa, she's got, I think she's got 75 organizers here to kind of reach out and build. You know, the secret of doing well in the caucuses, or one of the secrets is you can't just expect people to show up on caucus night. It's an unusual commitment. It's not like going to vote in a primary that just takes a few minutes out of your day. So the folks that show up are, you know, the most activist, kind of stalwart members of both parties.
And
so Mrs. Clinton is building a network of, you know, volunteers. You know, there's 1,600 plus precincts. She wants to saturate organizers all over the counties and the precincts. Mm-hmm. And at least that's the traditional rule book.
Yeah,
and we'll see if it
has she set up an email server in Iowa. Or... come on, look at this face. That was avoidable. That's unbelievable, really, when you think about it. That wasn't observed in the beginning. That's probably was not a good way to go.
I would think that was a conversation that, you know, the first time that came up, someone would have said, why do we want to do this?
Yeah.
And I guess she's never said why, but I think we all, you know, in our minds can imagine why.
Yeah, now so, we can. I guess all we hear.
And then the second question would have been, but this will all come out.
Yeah.
And how will it look?
Well, it took the pressure off Benghazi, so that's good. Benghazi on email and you're done, you know.
Right.
Whatever that was all about. Physically, how caucuses work, can anyone go to the caucuses and cast a vote?
Anyone who's registered to vote. And Iowa is a party, a state which you register by party.
And what do you go to, somebody's house or something? I mean, where are they? I really don't understand.
No.
Is it county by county?
The myth or the folklore is that these are very intimate gatherings in church basements and people's living rooms. You know, in reality, they tend to be in schools or, you know, the Unidome up in, you know, in northern Iowa. It gets like thousands of people in it. So, yeah. Correct.
You register in advance.
Although you can change your, as I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you can change your party registration, you know, right up to the date if you want to, you know, participate in a Operation Chaos, as Rush Limbaugh would call it.
Yeah. So you could register if you wanted to be anti-Hillary. You could register. Well, this time of the year. Yeah.
Okay. And I think, you know, this voter has just demonstrated why the caucuses tend to, both parties prefer the most ideologically kind of driven candidates because they are the people that tend to show up are stalwarts and they're conservative on the Republican side and they're quite liberal on the Democratic side. I mean, it's much easier to stay at home and watch TV than it is to go out on a cold night, you know, in January or February and spend a bunch of hours, you know, with people that you may or may not like or know and, you know, have to talk about, you know, your political... I mean, it's uncomfortable to talk about politics, you know, in at dinner parties, but here you have to talk about them with, you know, neighbors and semi-strangers and people you don't really want to hang out with anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, and do you have
a lot of... It's quite a commitment.
Do you have a lot of dinner parties in Iowa? I don't know. Probably call them something else, you know, barbecues or something. Trip, I want to thank you. Are you going up now to the game and watch them tailgate? And
You know, I'm not a huge football fan, but yeah. I got out of the tailgate and started last night. I was up there earlier. And, so the game is not till like 4 o'clock or 4:30 this afternoon. But, yeah, I'm rushing up.
And is Trump tailgating off his helicopter or not?
Trump has a blue bus, which is in a parade up in Boone this morning, and then he is going to be arriving, you know, at the stadium sort of midday.
Yes. Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see whether that bus can get through the traffic, and we'll really see how much clout Donald Trump has.
Coming up later today. Right. Thanks. Trip Gabriel from the New York Times. Thanks.